read a few things about prayer that a few people have said. E.M. Bounds, E.M. Bounds, his last name is Bounds. In my mind, he's one of the most prolific writers on prayer. He lived 1835 to 1913. He was a pastor. He was a Civil War chaplain. And he was considered an expert on prayer. He said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." This was said of John Knox, if you've ever heard the name John Knox. He was a reformer. He lived in the 1500s. He was a Scottish minister. He was a reformer of the Church of Scotland. And Mary, Queen of Scotland, said this. Now listen to this. I know this is true because I saw it on Final Jeopardy one day. They asked this question. So it's got to be true, right? But Mary, Queen of Scotland, said this: "I fear John Knox's prayers more than an army of 10,000 men." Now you think about that. And then a story. It says, some years ago, a young lady was very sick and not expected to recover. Because of her love for Jesus, she was troubled that she had not been able to do more for him in her short life. Her pastor suggested that she make a list of people in their little town who needed Christ and pray that they might put their faith in him. She took his advice, made a list, and prayed often for each person. Sometime later, God began to stir a revival in the village. The girl heard of the people who were coming to Christ and prayed even more. As she heard reports, she checked off the names of those who had been led to the Lord. After the girl died, a prayer list with the names of 56 people was found under her pillow. All had put their faith in Christ, the last one on the night before her death. Wow. Such is the power of definite, specific, fervent prayer. You know, we started last Wednesday night a series of messages on unleashing God's power in prayer. Unleashing God's power in prayer. Now, you got to keep in mind that when we pray, we're not unleashing our own power. We're unleashing the power of God. And that's why I chose very carefully the title of the sermon series, Unleashing God's Power in Prayer. You know, sometimes it may seem that our prayer life is a bit stuck. You ever felt that way? Maybe where you've prayed about something and prayed about something and prayed about something or a number of somethings. And people sometimes use the expression, "It seems like my prayers are not getting any higher than the roof or the ceiling." You know, if that be the case, that it seems that your prayer life is kind of ho-hum, not too exciting, or it seems that God is not answering yes to your prayers much lately, this message is for you. And actually, this whole series of messages is for you. Again, unleashing God's power in prayer. And as I preach this, I know that God has in mind kind of a merging of what we've been praying about as a church, and then also the lessons that we can learn from God's word about prayer. Remember, we're praying that several things get filled up, right? We're praying that the seats are filled up. We're praying that our finances are filled up. We're praying that our potholes in our parking lot and in the road up here are filled up. And we're praying that our hearts are filled up with the Holy Spirit or controlled completely with the Holy Spirit. So I believe the timing of this is such that God wants our prayers to be powerful. And I don't know what God's will is. All I can do is pray, trust God, hopefully be in tune with his will. But then if God says no, I'm like, "You're still God." We talked about this in an administrative board meeting tonight. You know, if the seats aren't filled up, he's still God. I'll still trust him. And, you know, but as far as my end, I'm going to be praying that God will help fill up, because that means more souls under the Word of God. That means maybe more souls that have been saved. That maybe means that more souls are serious about God. And that can mean even more impact outside the church, don't you think? But as we pray about these things, some things that may help us. Now, last week, all of these things from the Word of God start with the letter F that we're talking about, prayer. Last week, unleashing God's power in prayer, we looked at faith. Faith. We need to pray believing. And we're in a passage of Scriptures, James chapter 5. If you want to open in your Bibles to James chapter 5, I'm going to read these verses again, and we're going to be using certain things in this passage to support what we're talking about. Seems like his mic keeps coming on and going off, doesn't it? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Huh. Something happened Sunday night. It didn't get recorded, the message. None of the audio came out because the mic got shut off somehow, and I'm not sure if I did it or whether it went off on its own, but we'll just do the best we can. How's that? James chapter 5, verse 13. James is a very practical book of the Bible. Says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, the writer of this, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, definitely knew that even as children of God, we'll have times that we're afflicted, and we'll have times when we're happy and merry. Says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. We made the point that I believe the elders of the church, that's the same word, the same office that I have. And it is a calling from God. It's a serious calling of God that we will give account to. And primarily when it's plural in Scripture, I believe it means basically a pastoral staff, elders. Like you have a pastor, assistant pastor, or youth pastor. I think that's what it applies to. I've always felt that way. It says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I've said that I've seen this done. I've done this myself. It's not about the show. It's all about the Lord. And there's nothing magical or mystical about the oil or anything. As I said last week, as far as I'm concerned, we could use Valvoline 10W30 if you want to. It really doesn't matter. It's not healing oil. It's just what God says to do, and we trust God, and we pray on behalf of that person. And then it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, I think this prayer of faith, of course, the elders should have faith, but also I believe that the person who's asking, you know, God commends, or Jesus in his ministry commends different people that ask for healing or requested healing from Jesus for their faith. So I think it's important that they have faith. Now, does that mean automatically if they have faith, God's going to heal their body? No. I've seen when people have been prayed for and God did not choose to heal their body, but I've seen where God did choose to heal their body. But it says the prayer of faith. And last week we looked at faith. We need to pray believing. We need to pray believing. You know, we can have confidence in the prayers that we pray to the Lord. We can believe that he's going to answer. It's not really, I believe this is true, because I've struggled with this question. Is it believing that God will do it or believing that God can do it? Now, to me, I believe. Now, again, I don't want to come across and pretend like I'm an expert on this prayer stuff. I mean, I'm a work in progress. But I believe that faith, when it says pray believing and it talks about having faith and trust in God, I don't believe it's praying that you know God will do it, but that you know that God can do it. And when you do that, you just turn it over to him and say, Lord, whatever your will is, whatever your will is. And, you know, we serve such a good God. He's trustworthy, don't you think? Tonight, not only should we pray with faith, pray believing, we should pray with fervency. Pray with fervency. In other words, pray hard. Pray hard. If you continue to read here, I'm going to back up to verse 15 again. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But here it says in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. But notice the next sentence. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now that's pretty big, don't you think? Now when I looked this up in the original language, when I looked it up in Greek, effectual and fervent is actually one word. Effectual and fervent is really one Greek word that they translate. I had to split it up into two English words. But it goes on to say availeth much. And isn't that really what we've been talking about? Unleashing God's power in prayer. So not only do we have to pray in faith, talks about the prayer of faith, pray believing, but fervency, we need to pray hard. We need to pray hard. Now, there's some other passages in Scripture that illustrate what it means to pray hard. Now, the last thing that I'm trying to communicate to you, the last absolute worst thing I could communicate to you is it's all about show. Because praying is not about show. I think I may have told you in our college group at West Virginia Tech after I transferred from WVU, I was up there for a year and a half in Morgantown in petroleum engineering. I felt God wanted that to change and wanted me to change, and I was very homesick. I transferred to West Virginia Tech, which is now part of the university system too, but in Montgomery. If you've ever been to Montgomery, there's not much in Montgomery. But I did stay on campus, and that was a much better fit for me. And there in the college group that I was pretty active in, the Christian college group there on campus, I remember one night, it must have been, I don't know, something must have been going on because our numbers were way down. And I think there was only three or four of us that showed up that night. You know, we seemed like we usually met on Thursday nights up at the student center there at Tech. And someone said, well, let's just pray. Rather than doing what we typically, let's just pray. And as best I remember, we made a circle of prayer. And this one guy, I think he was a fairly new Christian. Man, he prayed and he prayed. And he prayed some more, and he prayed some more, and he prayed some more. Now, you're looking at me saying, preacher, you're supposed to enjoy all this prayer. But there is such a thing as putting on too much. I mean, and praying too long. And he was just praying and praying and praying. Knowing me, I was probably thinking in my brain, you know, I got a test tomorrow. Prayer's great, but I'd like to get back to the dorm and study. You know what? And he prayed and prayed. And the other guy, who had been a Christian a lot longer, he had been president. He may have been president of the group at that time. And when it got to his turn to pray, he said something like this. And Lord, I'm just thankful that we don't have to pray long, fancy prayers to be heard by God. Amen. Or something like that. Whoa. But that's really true. That's really true, isn't it? And then I remember the fellow who had been a Christian a while apologizing to the other guy and saying, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. But it obviously got to him a little bit too. You know, but when I say pray fervently, it's not about the show. You know, it's not about, I'm going to pray fervently and I want everybody in church to know I'm praying. And I'm going to use those great big words, sanctification and justification and propitiation and all to show. And I'm going to shout and raise my, it's not about that at all. It's really being serious in prayer. Being serious in prayer. Now, there's several people, again, in Scripture that exhibited being serious in prayer. First of all, in Luke 22, in Luke 22. Verse 44, we could look at a lot here, but Luke 22 and verse 44. It's speaking of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested. Now, I think this is really a good picture. Of course, Jesus is a good picture of anything good we're supposed to be, right? But he was praying to the Father, and he says in chapter 22, verse 44, it says, and being in agony, speaking of Jesus, he prayed more earnestly. You could say he prayed harder, even more harder, sincerely. And it says, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So, you know, when's the last time you prayed so hard that you sweat? And you were so fervent about it and you were so serious about it that sweat or tears or something come out of your body. So that's a pretty good picture, I think, of, actually an excellent picture of fervency in prayer. But also, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, back in the Old Testament. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we won't spend too long on any of these, but 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. Here's a lady named Hannah. Hannah, remember her? She was barren. She did not have a child. And it says here, as Hannah was praying in the tabernacle, this tabernacle was in the city called Shiloh, but listen to this, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. I think it's a pretty good picture of praying hard, praying with fervency, praying seriously before the Lord. It says in verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So you got Eli the priest, you got Hannah who is barren. It says in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Sounds like to me she's pretty serious about her prayer concern. She's weeping. It says she was in bitterness of soul, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thee, unto thine handmaid, that is, a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, what's that mean? Eli was paying attention to Hannah. And like, wow, what's going on here? You know, I guess he kind of felt, as priest and here at the tabernacle, some responsibility to maintain order, perhaps in the tabernacle. And he's watching this lady pray and shedding the tears and being in bitterness of her spirit. And it says in verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, it's almost one of those things that you almost laugh a little bit about, right? Like, wow. But I believe that Hannah was a picture of someone who was serious. Someone who was praying hard. Y'all agree with that? Some of you, I'm not sure you're with me. Are you with me? Just give me a little nod if you're with me. I think she was an example. Jesus was a perfect example. And then we got Hannah. But there's some more. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Back in the New Testament. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 5. Now, Peter's been arrested. Remember, Herod noticed that it made him quite popular with a lot of people when he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So he said, well, on top of that, I'll arrest Peter. So he arrested Peter. But and God eventually releases him, if you remember that. But notice in verse 5 what it says about the church. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Wow. I'd say that was pretty serious prayer, don't you? I mean, it wasn't like, okay, we'll pray for half an hour and go home. I mean, it sounds like through the night they were praying. I mean, this was serious. And they said, this is a serious issue. We don't want, James has already been killed and Peter might get killed. We don't want that to happen. So they were serious. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Another example. I believe each one of these are examples of praying hard or fervency in prayer. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verses 12 and 13. Now, this is speaking as Paul is writing to the Colossian church. And he's gotten to the greetings part of it, of his closing his letter. But he says in Colossians chapter 4, now, listen, he says this of Epaphras for the Colossian church. Now, we had a church praying for Peter. Now, we have a person praying for a church. And listen to what it says in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Colossians. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. So he was obviously with Paul, and he says, he salutes you. You know, in other words, he greets you. Notice this, always, notice that word, always laboring, fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect or mature and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and then in Hierapolis. Now, you don't necessarily always see these words put together. But here you got Epaphras, and it says always. So that tells you that he was at it, right? He was fervent. And then it says laboring. Have you ever heard prayer referred to as labor? Now, praying hard is a lot of work. It is. You know what most of us want? We want those little quick little prayers and then go about my day, right? And I know God's going to bless me because I prayed to him. Lord, bless my day. Amen. Let's move on. But we're not talking about, we're talking about Epaphras was always, it says laboring, and this even adds another word to it, fervently. It wasn't just a little pop-up little prayer. I mean, this guy here was continually going before God and laboring in prayer and being fervent about it. And he was praying for the church that they would be mature and complete in the will of God. That's pretty serious prayer, don't you think? And it says, it uses the word zeal. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. You know, there should be some things that we're so zealous and excited and enthused about that we can't help but join in praying and labor in prayer and be fervent in prayer and be serious in prayer. You know, I hope that those four things we're praying about, filling the seats and filling our finances and filling our potholes and filling our hearts with, I hope that's something like, yeah, I'm zealous about that. I'm on that. I'm going to pray about that. And we've even encouraged you on Fridays to prayer and fasting Friday. That you fast, you skip a meal, skip whatever you can skip. If you can skip a meal, skip a meal. If you can skip two meals, skip two meals. If you cannot eat all, fine. But just fast before God and let him know you're serious. Fasting is always for a purpose. It's not for show. It's not, I'm going to fast for the sake of fasting. No, you fast for a specific thing. And if you're zealous and you feel strongly that I want those four things filled up in our church, why not pray fervently and hard on those Fridays? So we see Jesus as an example of praying hard. We see Hannah as an example of praying hard. We see the church praying for Peter, who's in prison, praying hard. And we see Epaphras praying for the Colossian church. One more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just turn to the next book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect or mature again that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul, I think he's having serious prayer for the church at Thessalonica. Doesn't it sound like it? He says night and day. So, you know, you can read there between the lines that he's in a constant attitude of prayer, right? And what is he praying? It says praying exceedingly. I see an earnestness. I see a seriousness about it. I see a fervency about it. I see praying hard about it. And he's saying, I want the church that I might come and see you again, that I can perfect or help you grow in your walk with God. Now, fervency. Pray hard. You know, I believe that we do many things for God very flippantly. Really, I do. I think we do a lot of things for God. And I guess I would commend you, and I think God would commend you for doing these things. But I really don't think we should do them flippantly. You know, we ought to consider what we're doing. And we ought to be serious about what we're doing and why we're doing it. Y'all agree with that? For instance, we sometimes sing to God without paying attention to the words. And I'm as guilty as anybody about that. You know, I'm just trying to get my hymn book open fast enough before Amy starts to play half the time. I'm like, you know, and she usually God works it out. Just a split second before she hits the note, I find the song in the hymn book. And I sang, I'm like, you know, I've sung these songs for my whole life, basically, from a little kid up, let's say. And I can sing them and really not pay much attention to it. So in a sense, you could say it's a good thing to sing to the Lord. I'd encourage you to do it, even if you're not paying attention to the words. But wouldn't it be even better if we're serious about it? And we say, you know what, I'm paying attention. And God, you are a mighty fortress. And God, you are the lily of the valley. And God, you are the lover of my soul. And God, you know, and pay attention. Isn't that even a little better? I think so. We read the Bible sometimes. I hope you're reading through the Bible. Again, if you're behind, just pick up in, May. You can get to May and start with, it says month one, and then in a year you can have it read. That's one thing I like about that. It doesn't have the name of the month. It just says month one, month two, month three, month four. I'm almost caught up. I'm a little smidgen behind in my one-year Bible reading to this point. I hope that you're doing it. But, you know, we can even be doing a good thing like reading the Bible, but not taking it very seriously. You know? We could just be reading it to get through and put a check mark. Or we could even have a devotion, maybe a devotional book or the chapter. I think y'all the other day that right now I'm going through Psalms and taking each psalm, one psalm a day. And I'm looking at it and say, God, what do you have for me today? And I'm taking that more serious. But you know, how many times do we just kind of, you know, okay, I've done my devotion. God, I read the Bible like you want me to. Check. You know, wouldn't it be better if we really took it serious? I jotted down some other things here. We listen to sermons sometimes, and our mind is a million miles away. I haven't always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew a pretty good chunk of my life too. Been under some really, really good preachers. But I have to admit sometimes, I guarantee you my mind was a million miles away. I was thinking about what was going on the next week or what I had to do or a problem that I had. But isn't it better when we say, you know, I'm going to get serious about the message that God has given to my pastor. And I'm going to listen as if it's for me because it probably is. I mean, isn't that better? We put offering in the offering plate. You know, the offering plate is passed, and we put our money in there, and we just kind of like, here you go. And we really aren't thinking. You realize that when we put money in the offering plate, it's a form of worship? I mean, it really is. I mean, as the offering plate is passed, I'm not saying we got to be old sourpuss there and can't smile. We're taking up the offering. Got to be serious. I'm not really saying that. I'm just saying, considering what you're doing. You know, it's like, God, I'm giving, really what's happening, I'm giving this because I appreciate who you are. So it is a form of worship. I hope you see it as a form of worship. What about the people that we pass? We probably pass hundreds of people a day without even considering for one moment that I should share Jesus with these people. Again, we could even take the commission that we've been given to share the gospel more seriously, right? But tonight, the big emphasis is praying with fervency, praying hard. I think too many times, we know what we'd like to get from God. And so when we pray, God, I pray that you'll bless this and this and this and this, and I'd like to have this and this and this and this. And again, There may not be anything wrong with asking for those things, especially if you think it's God's will for you. And especially if you say, Lord, regardless of what I'm asking for, I ultimately want your perfect will to be done. But don't you think we could get a little bit more serious about prayer in our lives? I'm telling you, I could be more serious in prayer for my preacher. Don't say that. You're a preacher. But preachers are human too. And preachers are busy too. And it's like, maybe we just need to slow down our busy life. Maybe we just need to get serious about prayer. And again, it's not about a show. It's not about saying, okay, God, now I'm serious. I'm psyching myself up. It's not like that at all. It's just like, does it mean anything to you? You know, prayer should mean a lot to us. It's us talking to God. You know, in its simplest form, what is the Bible? God talking to us. What is prayer? Us talking to God. So I want two-way communication, and I don't want it to be flippant. I don't want it to be rushed. Can I tell you that part of being serious and fervent in prayer is getting away from distractions? Can I tell you something? And I've always felt this. This world could get along just fine without me. So I can put my phone away for a bit. I could turn it off, hide it. I could do something with it, and for a few minutes and get serious with God, or an hour and get serious with God, or 2 hours, regardless how much time you want to spend, put this thing away and you'll find your prayers are a little bit more serious. Because this thing, I think the old devil uses this thing about the time you're getting serious and like, Lord, I really mean this and I really want this and according to your will, and you're praying to God, ding. Why in the world are they texting me for? You know, and we get distracted, and it really takes away from the serious nature, praying hard, praying with fervency that we should have before God. And, you know, the Bible talks about the prayer closet. Not a bad idea. Get rid of the distractions. Get rid of the noise as best you can. I know sometimes that's almost impossible to do, but do the best you can. To focus on the fervency, praying hard in prayer. Tonight, unleashing God's power in prayer. I would like for God to work on behalf of my prayers, wouldn't you? I mean, and not about me. I want God to get all the glory, though. You know, that's one thing about all these things that we're praying about. I don't want anybody, honestly, I don't want people to say, boy, that Pastor Steve, by golly, he got the parking lot fixed, or by golly, you know, the finances are better. By golly, look at all the. I don't want anybody to look at me and say that. I want it to be such a big, big miracle thing that God did that everybody says, wow, who did that? God. Nobody else was capable of doing it. It was just God. Unleashing God's power in prayer. Last week, faith, pray believing. Do you pray with full belief that God can do it? Tonight, fervency, pray hard. The question I have for you, would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Let me ask you, are you flippant with your prayers or do you pray hard? Are you flippant with your prayers or do you pray hard? And I would say that if you're like most of us, you'd say yes, both. Sometimes I'm flippant, sometimes I pray. If that be the case, would you say, Lord, help me to be more fervent, more serious. Help me to pray harder, if you will, in my life and take this thing of prayer much more seriously. Would you ask God that if he's speaking to your heart tonight? Lord, help me to pray harder. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. Lord, it's complete. It's all that we need. And Lord, it's amazing. It really is. And Lord, it tells us about unleashing your power in prayer. And Lord, it's not a formula. It's not some magic wand that we can wave. But Lord, it definitely tells us areas where we can pray in a much more pleasing way to you. And Lord, to move your hand to work in our lives and in our families and in our churches. And Lord, Lord, help us to indeed pray hard and to take prayer seriously, not flippantly and offer just quick little prayers, but Lord, to get really serious, even on our knees, even in a position of humility before you, Lord, and take time to lift our prayers to you, our merciful God. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening in tonight who has never been saved, never been truly born again, Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to them with your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that wherever people might be listening in by live stream or here, wherever, Lord, may they know that if they mean it from their heart, they can call out to you in prayer right now, God, the God of the universe, and tell you that they're sinners and ask for your forgiveness and mean it from the heart. And Lord, they can call out to you in prayer and tell you that they believe that Jesus was indeed your Son who died upon the cross to pay for their sins and then resurrected back to life and mean it from their heart. And they can call out to you and mean it from their heart and say something like this to you in prayer, that I confess Jesus as my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. He's going to be my leader. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And Lord, if they mean that from the heart, Lord, wherever a person might be, they can be saved. I pray that some folks listening tonight will do that very thing. Mean it. Lord, there's no magic in the words or exactly what's being said, but Lord, they have to mean it from their heart. And God, again, thank you for our time together. Help us to take prayer seriously, we pray in Jesus' name.